All right, I think we're going now. And Hebrews chapter 11, okay? Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bibles. Okay, to kind of refresh your memory, because it actually has been a few weeks, I think, since we've been on this study. Our family was on holiday. Then last week we just prayed about the building need that we have as a church. And so we've been looking at getting into the powerful vehicle of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 has typically been called the Hall of Faith. If I could rewrite history, I would suggest let's call it the History of Faith, because if you look at it as the Hall of Faith, sometimes you look at it as great people that achieved great things, but if we look at it as people achieving things, then what we feel like is I can't achieve that because I'm not that person. But the thing about this faith that the Bible is speaking about is that we don't have to be those people, because it's actually the faith that accomplishes those great things. They did that because they had biblical faith, and biblical faith achieves great things. And so we ought rather, as we've talked about, open the door to the powerful vehicle of faith and get inside. And we get inside initially at salvation. That puts us into that powerful vehicle of faith. But then we need to understand what that faith can achieve, so that we push it, in a sense, to its limits. I think really it's limitless in its ability to achieve great things. And so that faith that they had is the same faith we have. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Some of you might know the term "soup up a car." You know, to soup it up means to enhance it, make it a bit better. My brother got a 2001 Mustang back in, I don't know, early 2000s, and he souped it up, and he's a car guy. And, I mean, he did some modifications to it, and he went to test it, getting on the motorway, and it scared him, because every time he switched gears, it would actually peel out the tires and make that squeal sound and throw him back in his seat. Why? Because it was a souped-up vehicle. You're accessing all the power of that vehicle. You know, Christianity, what we get experience, New Testament Christianity, is really a souped up version of what we're reading about when we're reading Hebrews 11. Because it's a history of the faith, and it's going back Old Testament, and it's coming up, what we have as New Testament believers is actually a cut above what they had back then. Jesus speaks about it in John 14, verse 12, where it says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." I mean, that is an incredible statement the Lord made. He's going to do greater works. I mean, Jesus did some amazing miracles by his power, but because of what he did on the cross, and because of the person of power, the Holy Spirit, there is a multiplication of the ministry and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in believers now. It says in verse 13, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And we've talked about the great high priest. Jesus Christ is there interceding for us. We have access to the Father through Jesus. And then he goes on to say, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter," that's the Holy Ghost, "that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And I mean, that's speaking about the person of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, the hope of glory. If any, he that hath the Son hath life, who is that person of the Son? Is the person of the Holy Spirit that resides within us, the Spirit of God. So do we begin to understand what we have, the access we have, and faith and power that we have through Christ? So the first question is, are we in that vehicle? And then secondly, are we accessing the incredible power of that vehicle? So let's pray and ask the Spirit of God to help us with the Word of God tonight. Father, we thank you for the grace that you give. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to get into the Word of God tonight. It's our desire to have the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Father, every heart, whether it's a child or an adult, whether it's somebody that is saved or unsaved, somebody that has a lot of religious knowledge or does not have religious knowledge. Father, may the Spirit of God encourage us to faith. Because, Father, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It is the access to the power of God and the promises of God. And so may the Spirit of God help us as we consider this subject tonight. I can't speak without your enablement. I pray the Spirit of God would guide my lips as I speak. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear, that we take in the truth of God. And Father, that again, you'd speak to each of us tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so get into the powerful vehicle of faith. And the first point really has to do with the idea of stay in that vehicle. Okay, stay in it. And the point is the continuance of faith. The continuance of faith. It says in verse 30 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Okay, saving faith is just the beginning. That's where it starts. But there's a process of continuance and then of conquest, right? I mean, that you reach points of success. You know, if faith was mountain climbing, it wouldn't be that getting to that, you know, that peak and standing there on that summit. It's that getting to that next point and getting to that next point and getting to that next point. There's that continual process of going up and conquest. And so the story that Paul is referring to is the story of the city of Jericho and the conquest of that city. It's found in Joshua chapter 6, and I'll begin reading at verse 2. It says, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. I mean, it's kind of an amazing statement. I've given it to you. And you'd think, well, okay, thank you. And that's it. That's done. But that's not faith. Faith is, I've given it to you, but there's a process of faith to go and take that place. And so he says, you shall compass the city, go around the city. All ye men of war, go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And so for 6 days, every day, they're going to walk around the city one time by faith. You know, next day, get up one time around the city by faith, and so on for 6 days. And then verse 4, the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And so on the 7th day, it's different. Now you're taking a longer walk, although it's not a huge city. You know, 7 times around the city, the 7th time, blow with the ram's horn, the shofar, and then something marvelous is going to happen. It shall come to pass that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Okay, when the city walls fell, they fell in. And they went up that wall like a ramp. Okay, they didn't just kind of crumble and fall, especially towards the Israel. They fell in to that city. So God said it would happen, but there was a continuance of faith. It wasn't immediate. It wasn't like, okay, I mean, that's it, done. God promised it, but they had to go up and take it. You know, so does our faith continue, or do we expect immediate results? You know, are we somebody that, I mean, I expect, if I'm going to trust God, I expect, you know, just something amazing, or am I willing to take that endurance of faith test and that continuance of faith test? Remember Naaman, when Naaman came to Elisha, he expected him to come out, strike his hands over the prophet and say, be healed or something like that. And he says instead, go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. And again, there's that continuance of faith where he's got to go down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And he stops at 6. What happens? Nothing. But if he goes to 7 in obedience to the prophet of God and by faith, then he's healed. Same with the city. If they go around it 6 times, nothing happens. But the 7th time is when it takes place. You know, the Bible says, Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Okay, so part of being that powerful vehicle of faith is getting in there and saying, I'm going to continue in here. I'm going to stick in this position of faith. So stay in that. Don't get out. So the continuance of faith. But then secondly, it has to do with the idea of make sure that you're in it. Okay, now we're going to go back a little bit. Make sure that you're in that vehicle. And so this has to do with the consequence of faith. The consequence of faith. Verse 31, again, speaking about the city of Jericho, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Okay, she lived in the wall of that city, the wall that would crumble. How is it that this lady survived, you know, the destruction of that city? Well, it's because that she had faith. She feared the God of Israel. She asked in faith that God would spare herself and her family by asking the children of Israel to do that. Again, the story is in Joshua 2, verse 18. She helped the spies that came in. She saved their lives. She asked them to spare her life and the life of her family. And they said to her, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread. Okay, she had red thread given to them, or you know, and she used to tie that around. And we understand it's a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That red, that would be there, that would identify that as a place that is to be spared when God's wrath comes, when God's wrath is brought upon that place, that those people were to be spared. And it shall be that whosoever goeth out of the door, I'm sorry, let me read the rest of that verse first. Put it in the window which thou shalt didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will all be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. Okay, she believed that. I mean, she believed God. She got her household and said, come on, get into this place of safety. She put the scarlet thread there. It identified them as those that were to be spared. But everybody else was in unbelief. Everybody else was in a position of despising God and rejecting God. And because they were idolatrous and because they were heathen, the wrath of God came upon that place. Now, I would say this about those people. They felt secure. They didn't think God's wrath could touch them. I mean, they're inside of a walled city. You know, there's no way anything's going to happen. They didn't need to believe in God, they thought. But the wrath of God came upon them. And I stood in that city of Jericho. I've seen the wall. You know, you can see as it fell inward, you could see the way that it lies there on the ground. And God did exactly what God said he would do against that city. And so the consequence of faith is she had faith. They were spared. They did not have faith. Everybody else in that city, and they were destroyed. So faith, again, has great consequences. We need to make sure tonight that we're into that vehicle of faith. And then the third thing that I want to look at tonight is this idea that there's no qualifications needed. Okay, we're going to look at the companions of faith. In other words, who else is in those vehicles? And as you look at them, something that struck me is that, you know, you don't have to be qualified. There's nothing. In fact, there's a almost what you say is a lack of qualifications in the lives of those that are able to get into this vehicle of faith. And so verse 32 says this, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets. Okay, now Paul has hit the fast forward button in the history of faith. So, I mean, now he's just going to shoot up. He's in the time of the judges and the prophets and the kings, and he's just going quickly past these names. But it reminds me again that there doesn't have to be a lot of qualifications to be somebody that can get into this vehicle. There was a youth pastor at a church near Atlanta, Georgia, that we were with, and he spoke about the fact that he got to go to a NASCAR race, and I think he got to be somehow involved in it because he won a competition driving a simulator NASCAR. All right, it's just kind of not the real thing, but you got to drive it like the real thing. And you know, if I were to get into that, I would have been, I'm sure, against the wall. I would have, spun out. I would have messed up on the gears. He had a skill level that was unusual. He's a youth pastor. But he had a skill level to drive something like that. But again, the great thing about this vehicle is that anybody could get in it, and anybody could do, by God's grace, great things by faith. Let's think about the examples that are here in this verse. And so we've got Gideon. And Judges 6:15 says, "And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." I like Gideon in the Bible. God comes to him and he says, "O thou mighty man of valor." But then as you read the story about Gideon, you look at Gideon and think, he's scared, and so he goes up at night to take down the idol grove. He struggles to trust God, and so he says, "Make the fleece, be wet, make the fleece be dry," and does that test. He's scared about the Midianite army, that he's got to fight with 300 guys. And we can relate, to the fact that he's afraid there. But God says, if you're afraid, go down to that Midianite army. He's not, somebody that we look at and think that is a really valiant man. But by faith, Gideon did great things for God. The Bible here mentions Barak. Barak, another judge, demanded as he went into battle that Deborah, a woman, go with him. In Judges 4 verse 8, Barak said unto her, "If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Okay, she went because he said, "If you're not going to go with me, I'm not going to go." And she goes, "Okay, it's not for your honor." And the story is of Jael, the wife of Heber, that takes a tent stake and drives it through the head of Sisera while he's sleeping in the tent. So I look at Barak and I think, as far as a man goes, but the Bible lists him in this hall of faith, the things that he accomplished. But I look at him as a man and think, the Bible demonstrates his weakness. Samson, we understand Samson was a very powerful man, but we understand as well that that power was not anything to do with Samson himself. Judges 16, verse 20, Delilah said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and he said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. His strength was nothing to do with him. Now, by God's grace, and it was because he disobeyed God, he broke his Nazarite vow, and he has his eyes put out, and he's made to grind corn and stuff for the Philistines. But at the end of his life, he accomplished a great task as he pushes on those pillars, and many enemies of God are killed because he still accessed the power of God by faith. Jephthah, the story of Jephthah is the one where he makes a vow to God. "Whatever first comes out of my house, when I get home, I'm going to give that to you." And you wonder, should he have made that vow as his daughter comes out and apparently becomes a virgin the rest of her life because her dad made a vow? And again, I don't understand fully that story. And was he right? Was he wrong to do that? He honored God. God honored that vow that he made. But I suppose we can look at that and say that's might be a principle of, was that weakness or was that strength? But God used it, and faith was still powerful despite that. David, we understand, again, was just a shepherd boy. But he fought the giant. He's the giant slayer of Goliath. But again, he did so in the power of God. Samuel, as a boy, had to learn to hear the voice of God. He had a fear of King Saul, and maybe rightly so, but 1 Samuel 16:2, Samuel said, "How can I go up to anoint King David? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And I don't want to overemphasize the weaknesses of these men. These were godly men. These were great men. They might have had some areas that were flaws in their life, maybe even sin issues that were in their life. But the fact is, God used them. And that's the companions of faith. People that are just men that are like us, that are subject, as the Bible says about Elijah, subject to like passions, but men that God used. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." I'll tell you this, I look at 1 Corinthians 1 as a preacher, and I say praise God, because, you know, not many of us could say, well, you know, I'm a great man, or I'm a great speaker, or I have great abilities, or God could use me because of something I possess. Anybody that God would use would be somebody that would look at their life and say, how could God possibly use me? But the encouragement is that the companions of faith are just men that God used greatly. So I could encourage you today and say, hey, no qualifications needed. We're burdened in our day. We need to see some great things that faith can do. We need that example for our kids. We need it for our church. We need it for families. But the answer is not we need some great men. It's that we need some people to get into the vehicle of faith and press it as a companion of other just men that by the grace of God did great things for God's glory. So if I could put it like that, no qualifications needed other than getting into faith and believing God for what God can do. And then fourth, has to do with the idea of looking for events to win for Jesus. Look for opportunities to do something for God. And I call this the conquest of faith. Okay, the conquest of faith. It says in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Okay, you can think of many stories, but David comes to mind. Gideon comes to mind. Wrought righteousness. Elijah, you know, prophet of the Lord. Samuel, prophet of the Lord, wrought righteousness. Obtained promises. You know, I can think of Daniel claiming the 70-year promise of in Jeremiah, you know, for the Babylonian captivity to be over, accessing that. Stop the mouths of lions. Again, Daniel in the lion's den. Quench the violence of fire. Verse 34, the fiery furnace, the three Hebrew children. Escape the edge of the sword. You know, David, how many times did King Saul try to get David and could not because David had a position of faith, trusting in God. Out of weakness were made strong. Again, Samson waxed valiant in fight. 300 men going boldly against the Midianite army, that's pretty amazing. And that, again, is Gideon. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Again, Jephthah, Gideon. Verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. And I'm not sure exactly what story the Bible's speaking about there, but the Shunammite woman, and her faith that the prophet could raise up her dead son, and God saw fit to do that for his glory. And so the point is this, if you want to achieve something great for God's glory, then it's to be accomplished by faith. That's where it is. It's to be accomplished by faith. And so if I could say like this, pay the entrance fee. You know, look for that opportunity by God's grace as God brings it across your path. Throw your hat in the ring and say, by the grace of God, I want to do something by faith for God. Right? We ought to have some young men and young women and adults, too, that just say, hey, my God is great. My God is able to do as great of things as God has ever historically done. And so by God's grace, I'm going to trust God and see what God can do. Esther was told by Mordecai about this being her opportunity to do something great for God. In chapter 4, verse 14, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And again, it's a great story. She's going to risk her life by faith. But, I mean, it's her opportunity. It's there. It's in front of her. She can stay in that vehicle of faith and say, I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. Hey, you guys, get on your knees. You guys pray. You guys fast. Let's see what God can do in answer to faith. And so Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, a night or a day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. You know, Esther said, okay, I'm going to step out, and I'm going to risk something in obedience to God, because there's something to be achieved for God's people and for God's glory. You know, is there anything in your heart that resonates with that tonight? It says, by God's grace, I want to achieve something by faith for God's glory. It's like the song said, am I a soldier of the cross? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? You know, I like reading the old men in the 1800s. Thomas Chalmers, Andrew Bonner, Robert Murray McShane. I'm getting a little bit of friendship with these guys as I read their diaries. I read their memoirs. I like to reach back and touch their lives. But you know, I say this about those guys: they looked at their day and said, "There is something worth achieving for God, and we got to get on our knees. We got to pray by faith and take these positions for God." And in our day, we can kind of go, man, I wish there was something that we could pray about. I wish there was something that we could be passionate about. They're passionate about revival. They're passionate about the power of the Spirit of God. And so they got on their knees and they got in that vehicle of faith and said, let's see what faith can do. And honestly, as we look at that, we're not talking about what faith can achieve. It's what God will achieve by faith, right? It's what God's power is able to do by us accessing it by faith. And so in your heart tonight, would you look at it and say, you know, by God's grace, I want to achieve something. I want to do something for God because God is able. So look for events to win for Jesus. Why? Because faith has conquest. I mean, go back and look at those verses again, verses 33 through 35. They did this, they did this, they did this, they did this, they did this. They achieved. Why? Because they had a position of faith. And praise God, we can do that too. Say, let's push it and see what this vehicle of faith is able to accomplish. And then do not stop your vehicle of faith for anything. Okay? And this has to do with the confidence of faith. The confidence of faith. Don't stop that vehicle, no matter what obstacle seems to be there in your way. We've already said about our holiday, our favorite outing, I think, was our drive to a place called Applecross, there on that peninsula just north of the Isle of Skye. And it's a treacherous ascent up this mountain pass, single-track road with pull-offs, motorhomes, bicyclists, motorbikes. I mean, you got everything going both ways on this very narrow road with treacherous drops off the side. You know, there could be points. There's nowhere to turn around. But if you could, you might think, I'd like to go back the other way. But, you know, it is you just keep going up it because of anticipation of what is on the other side. You know, praise God, those that traveled before us by God's grace, they didn't stop. No matter what was in front of them, they just kept going for God. Again, as we look at them tonight, they were willing to suffer and to die. It says in verse 35, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And again, as we look back at that verse, and I said, they looked at it, they said, we'll achieve it, we'll do this, and they obtained great things, but at times it cost them everything as they gave their life. Jesus spoke about it in his parable of the vineyard, Matthew 21, verse 33, he said, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard, and they slew him." You know, as Jesus is speaking about that, he's also looking back at the history. And what he's highlighting is this. Martyrdom did not start in the New Testament. Martyrdom started back there. They stood for God. They were killed. They stood for God. They were stoned. They stood for God, and they suffered. And again, Jesus Christ himself, by faith, took that position of the cross for us. He suffered and died for us. But they didn't stop. And they were also imprisoned. Verse 36, it says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments." Again, we can look back at the history in Scotland to the Scottish Covenanters and being banished to the Bass Rock out across from North Berwick, or here in Edinburgh at Greyfriars Churchyard, and the suffering of imprisonment that they so often faced. We see in the New Testament the preachers of the gospel being, again, imprisoned for the faith. And as we look at it, they died for the faith. They suffered for the faith. They were tortured for the faith. Verse 37, it says, "They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword." Again, in the New Testament, we see Stephen that was martyred by stoning. And it was common in their day that martyrdom, the apostles would be martyred. Paul himself, as he writes this text to us, speaking about what faith accomplishes and what faith endures, is going to himself, by faith, face martyrdom and suffering and torture as well. But they were willing, and they were willing to be deprived. It says they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And as that took place, they didn't demand their rights and say, "You've got to treat us well, don't you know? You know, we're Christians, we believe in God." But by faith, they suffered for God. Now, just it's very sad, but this is going to take us into the next chapter, and it's this. You got this cloud of witnesses, these great men of God that have achieved great things by faith. And you think about it, we get into that vehicle faith, and somebody faces this. Somebody laughs at them. Somebody slams a door in their face. Somebody criticizes them. The pull of the world is too strong. It's too attractive out there. You know, I'd rather get out of the vehicle and go over there. You think about it. The things that stop us. When there's great things to achieve for God, if we'll just press on and say, it doesn't matter what I face, it doesn't matter what gets thrown at me by the grace of God, I'm not going to get out of the vehicle of faith. And then lastly, tonight, I want to look at the conclusion of faith. The conclusion of faith. And that is this, that the day of reward is coming. The hymn says it this way, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ." Can you imagine what it's going to be like someday to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ if you stayed in the vehicle of faith? If you took that position for God's glory, if by the grace of God you lived your life full out for Jesus Christ by faith. These men were well respected for their run. It says in verse 38, "of whom the world was not worthy." They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Again, they did great things. Praise God. He's highlighted that, but they suffered. But they suffered, for the sake of God's message to mankind. You think about Elijah, the prophet, as he preached there at Mount Carmel, and for 3 years prayed that it wouldn't rain, took that stand against that wicked king, finally confronted the people and said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, God or Baal. And then the fire of God falls. By the grace of God, he wrought righteousness in the hearts of those people. He obtained God's mercy for them. And again, it's that statement of whom the world was not worthy. They didn't deserve it, but he accessed for them the mercy of God. Again, are we driving in such a way that would make the world the unworthy recipient of the grace of God, the unworthy recipient of the mercy of God? And then they were well reported for their run. It says in verse 39, it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't fully access, well, by God's grace, you and I have received in our day, but I mean, they're on their way for God. That access would come fully through Jesus Christ, as Hebrews has spoken about. But they got a good report. It reminds me of the words of our Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then verse 40, again, well rewarded for their run. It says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. But it was coming, right? I mean, the blessing was coming. It was Christ, and we fully received Christ. They, by faith, believed in the coming Messiah. By God's grace, because of their preparation and Christ's coming, we have achieved what Christ came to achieve for us, and that is the benefits of faith. You're the Wright brothers, if they got to walk around today, look at the jets that, you know, Kaylee and Benson flew on this past Monday as they went to the United States, they could see what their vehicle became in the future. And today, by God's grace, again, what we have is so much better, but it's because of their faithfulness with what God gave them is something that we have fully benefited from. And so tonight, faith, the powerful vehicle faith. And again, as we've studied this, I've been encouraged in my own heart just to look at it and say, you know what? The emphasis is not on the people. The emphasis is on faith and what, by God's grace, faith can do. And so I just say to us tonight, the potential is great if we get in that vehicle, by God's grace, and say, God, help me to push it. Lord, what is there by God's grace that I can achieve by faith? And it's just daily living and then ministry and our church and what God desires to do. By God's grace, I want to be in that position of faith. And God, I want to see what you can do. And God, I'm not going to stop. If it's knocking on doors that you want me to do, somebody slams the door in my face, God, by God's grace, I'm just going to keep on going. If it's whatever it is, by God's grace, the Spirit of God speaks to us about, that we'll take that position and say, you know what? I'm just going to stay in that position by faith. Let's pray and ask God to bless his word to our hearts tonight. Father, we thank you for the grace that you give. And Father, for the word of God tonight. And Father, we especially pray for that person that's not in the vehicle of faith. They don't have power in their life. They don't have victory. They're not seeing conquest because, Father, they're not born again. They might have religion, but they don't have salvation. They don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, we pray that tonight would be the night that they get saved. Father, for those that are born again, by God's grace, help us to not look at our life and say, what can I do for God? I can't do anything for God. Help us to look at the vehicle we're in and say, you know, this vehicle is a powerful vehicle. It can do great things for God and for God's glory. And Father, the power's of you. And so I just pray, Spirit of God, help us to stay in that vehicle. Help us not to quit. Father, by God's grace, I hope someday that it could be said of us, of whom the world was not worthy, that we would receive a good report. And Father, that we'd obtain all the blessings of a life of faith. And Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your help tonight and for our hearing and my speaking. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let me go ahead and turn off the live feed. Thank you for joining us if you're there. And hope to see you at church. If you don't have a good church in this area, we meet at the Glencore Center on Sunday nights at 5 and 6, and we'd love to see you there.